All right, I want to greet y'all this morning in Jesus' name. Glad to be here with you again today. It's a blessing to gather together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all you've done for us, Lord. We just ask you to help us to be faithful to you, Lord. That you would help us to guard against the pitfalls, Lord, that are in our way, Lord. Again, we just want to thank you for all that you do. Fill us with your Spirit and give us wisdom, Father, this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Appreciated the boys' thoughts this morning on freedom and Colby's thoughts also about mercy. It's just, you know, whenever we think of God's mercy that he's given to us, that how can we, you know, if we've tasted mercy, if we've tasted forgiveness, how can we hardly even criticize anyone else? I mean, hardly even... when we look at others, and it's just whenever we, if we know his mercy and see his mercy, it's just hard for us to hold a grudge or hard to be angry with someone. You know, we all have our reactions sometimes. I'm the world's worst about reacting. You know, I used to tell people at work they would come up and slap you or come up and do something to you behind you, and I would often react, and I would tell them I practice non-resistance. Sometimes I can't help my reactions if you get slapped upside the head by sneaking up behind you. So I'm not the best at that, but like I said, I try to practice non-resistance. But I am, not comparing myself to Peter's better qualities, but, you know, I seem like I would be quick to try to swipe somebody's ear off before I was thinking. So just might ask the Lord's mercy in that. I'm pretty quick with my mouth and my hands sometimes, but the general practice is to practice non-resistance and that mercy. Like I said, it's whenever we have the time to think about some of these things, sometimes there's just no place to hold a grudge or hold anything against someone else if we consider ourselves, you know. So let's turn here to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19, we'll begin reading. It says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more." Here's Paul talking about being a preacher of the gospel. And I think one of the things about preaching the gospel is not necessarily just out in front of somebody or living a whole bunch of words, but the way we deal with everybody every day, we are the gospel that people see. And we don't always have a time to speak, but we're always out there being seen. So he said, "I've made myself, though I'm free," we talked about freedom, "but yet he's chosen to make himself a slave so that he might help others. For though I am free from all men, I've made myself a slave to all so that I may win more." One of the boys mentioned about, you know, you can be in bondage and still be free. And we can choose to, and here's one of the things about freedom. A lot of times with the gospel or religion, 99% of it is all selfish. I mean, most people want to be saved, not because They've just been shown mercy and they want to see the glory of the Lord. They want to be saved because they don't want to be punished themselves. And so they put the Bible, the practices of the message, not in a way that's denying themselves and putting themselves, but in a way that actually promotes themselves. You know, a lot of people, we've talked about it, people wanting to be saved, and their goal is to be saved. And instead of losing ourselves, that's where freedom comes. Whenever we lose ourselves, we don't, you know, God is good. And it really doesn't matter. You know, we all deserve to be banished from Him. We've all fallen short. We've all strayed. We've all fell away. We've all served the devil in some way or another. And God has shown in His mercy. And so we don't have a claim that He has to save us or that we deserve to be saved. We don't have a claim at all. And true freedom is when we can just completely leave that in His hands. Recklessly abandon ourselves to Him. Just give it up. You know, because most of the time, our fears and the things that are happening to us, things that are going wrong in our lives, we're concerned about us. Even when something goes wrong with someone else, a lot of times you can find a way where, you know, I have a feeling that I want to fix, and it basically boils down to just being selfish. You know, even our emotions or obligations sometimes that we feel is we're just still trying just to make sure it's all right, that I need to do this because I'll have to do this to be saved, even though you know, someone else may be going through something. But I do it myself for what I'll get out of it. You know, that's how we do a lot of times. And that's what we want to look at this morning, that whenever we can truly get ourselves out of the way, it doesn't matter what anybody else does to us, because they're only hurting themselves. And we can rise above it. A lot of times the things that we're going through, you know, we are so, well, they talked about freedom. And you know, the most powerful slave master there is ourself. That has more power over us than anything. And we can be free from a lot of things, but still be a slave to ourselves. We're our own worst enemy. You know, and so whenever we can just get to the place where we can throw it into the Lord's hands and rest, that's where we find peace. And that's where we find rest. The thing that we've struggled for all of our lives sometimes. And when we finally give up on it, guess what? It just happens. And it's just amazing. The Lord is made it that way, that we struggle and struggle and struggle and try to fix things and try to keep things right, and all He wants us to do is just let go. There's a title of a book, I don't remember who wrote it years ago, it was Let Go and Let God. And that's so much truth to that. It's just amazing. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave so that I may win more. Truly, this is the only way you win any, is by being free and being a slave to others. Choosing to be. To the Jews, I became as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. You know, we've heard people say, well, you got to do as the Romans do. You got to go be like them. They use this verse to be like that, to win them. And that is exactly not what he's saying here. You know, we see youth leaders today in churches, and they're trying to be cool. They're trying to be like the teenagers that they're trying to teach. They let their hair grow long, or they cut it off, or they dye it blue, or they get all kinds of tattoos and holes in their face or whatever, so they'll be cool. That is not what he's talking about here being. That's not what a leader does. That's not what the young people in this country needs. They need people who are men. They need people who are full of courage and who are full of strength, that are free from all the fads that they're trying to follow and trying to oppress others with. They need someone that's above all of that, being free. And yet, being able to realize and put themselves in the other person's play, in the other person's position, to what they need. You know, that's one of the things that why we are so impatient sometimes with others, is because we haven't ever just put ourselves in their shoes. You know, the Indians used to say, you know, don't judge a man until you've walked a mile in his moccasins. You know, and if we would, that's what it's talking about here, about being free ourselves, but putting ourselves in that other person's place. Where are they at? Where are they coming from? Not to get down on their level with them, or not to just be a part of what they're doing, but to begin to understand what they're going through. That not only is the only way to help them, but it's what keeps us free from all those things. So that we can, you know, whenever we think sometimes, well, why does a person do this? Or why don't they get over that? Or why don't they quit? Why don't they struggle? Or why are they struggling with all this? Put yourself in their place. Yeah, you might be able to do better, but you might not. You might be able to do better. You know, it's pretty easy being an armchair quarterback here. And we're pretty easy to criticize. But what if you were actually going through that? What help would you need going through this? Go into this not by, you know, just looking at, oh, here they go again. Instead of doing that, look on your part. You be free, but you be a slave to that. And you be attentive to, what are they going through here? How can I be a slave to maybe just listening to their problems over and over again? How can I be a help here to them? Be a slave in that way. To whether a Jew or under the law, we don't hardly know very little of that today. But they're all just people. And they're all coming from different things. And put yourself in their place. Like I said, not to down on their level. You're free. You're free enough to be able to understand what they're going through. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without law of God, but under the law of Christ. Here we go. Right there it is. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. That used to be in the place of what you loved. That self, right? That self is right there. He knew it was the highest thing you could love. Yourself. So put your neighbor in that other place. That's the law of Christ. So that I might win those who are without the law. This is how you win people. You put yourself in their place. You put them above you. That's how you turn the other cheek. That's how you don't resist evil. Often we're so caught up in ourselves that we don't. We're more worried about ourselves. That's just all there is to it. We're worried about me being saved. We're worried about what's going wrong in my house. What's going wrong in my family? What's going wrong in my world? You see where self is just always right there trying to choke us out. To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. See, without weak people, there isn't strong people. And if I can't relate, or if I can't humble myself to realize what a weak person is going through, I'm never going to be able to help them. Like I said, this is not getting down on their level as far as just wallowing in mud with them. But it's knowing what they're going through or trying to understand it, becoming, putting their interest first instead of mine. You know, just working with people, you hear the same old thing every day sometimes, the same people. For years, one person is just, you know, one person or this person or each person you deal with is got their own problem, and you hear about it over and over and over and over again. And it gets wearisome sometimes. But then I think, you know, well, what if I was trying to carry that weight? How would I do any better? The point is here, I want us to see what we're talking about here. It's easy for us to look out and see how things ought to be, or how they ought to handle things. But there, people all have different weaknesses and different strengths. Our minds operate differently. Some of us think completely differently. And it takes being free to be able to think about how other people think and see things. We look at things and we see different images. We have different perspectives. And it takes being free, instead of just putting everybody in a category and say, here it is, this is the way it is, and why don't they see it? To be able to say, they're seeing it like this. That's how you can actually get there and win some. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. See where he's going here? It's not just trying to be a lookalike with the latest fad going on. It's to actually see where that person is and be where they're at. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. You know, this is where Paul, he'd come to the place where he did all things for the sake of the gospel. I'm not there, you know, so many times. But Paul, I did all things for the sake of the gospel. Not just this magical gospel we're just out preaching all the time, but the people we deal with every day, the people we work with, the people we're around, the people we influence. He had his life committed that he might become a partaker of it. See how important it is. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. You know, here's people are trying to run this race so they can win or so they can be saved. But you run the race the way God wants it ran, irregardless of yourself, and that's how you win the race. This is the rules of the race. You know, most people, they want everybody saved, and they want you to know you're saved. That's not the rules of the race. That's just applying to your selfish nature to save yourself, to save your own hide. You see that? That's not the rules of the race we're running. The rules of the race we're running are to lose yourself and see others. Everyone who competes in the race, in the games, exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. There's a way to do this without just wasting our breath. You know, and I think that's most Christianity is wasting their breath because they've got self at the center of everything. Jesus is first, whenever he was telling people to follow him, often the first thing he did was deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. But I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Now, I want to read here, going on. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Here he's reflecting back to the people of Moses' time, out in the wilderness. They were escaped out of Egypt, and the first little bit out of their trip, they came up to the Red Sea and they turned around and looked, and all of Pharaoh's army was racing towards them in chariots. What do you think? Nice, peaceful situation or panic? And God, after they panicked, God parted the sea and they went through on dry land. See, you know, looking at other people, how they would react. You know, we look at these people coming out of Egypt. Boy, why can't they just trust God? Why can't they just trust God? Why can't they just have a little faith? God just delivered them all from the Passover where the first eldest was saved because they put the blood on the doorpost. They get out a few days later and they come up to another situation and panic again. And we look at them and say, oh, those guys, what in the world? And then God parts the sea and they go through. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them. And the rock was Christ. You know, it wasn't a little bit longer that they got out there and they got thirsty because there wasn't any water. Just a few days, they ran out of water. What'd they do? They panicked. And they wanted to stone Moses and say, let us go back. Those Israelites, those guys, can you believe it? Can you believe that they would act such a way? That's the way we think a lot of times, I think. And we forget that every time we go through a struggle, we go through a problem, you know, we probably do about the same thing that they were doing. We're not any different. And that's what I'm talking about. Get past yourself. Get past criticizing and condemning other people that fail over and over again. And put yourself in their place. You know, we look at other people failing like we look at the Israelites failing. Oh, why don't they just get over this? Maybe the reason they're not getting over it is because God's still working on us. trying to get us past ourselves a little bit so that we can win others. You know, we're looking at this weak one down here that's struggling and failing, and we're getting all disgusted and aggravating and looking at them just like most people look at the Israelites. And God's seeing, God's seeing people that are actually all the same boat, that are just looking down the road just a little bit at someone a little lower than they are. And we don't realize that there's someone a little higher than us that's thinking the same thing about us as that we're thinking about that other weak person. Because we're on this self thing here. Instead of where we get to where we deny ourselves. Lose ourselves. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not well pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, these things happened as examples for us. These things happen as examples for us. We just look at it and we say, oh, boy, look how they failed. Look how they failed. We haven't seen the example. We've just found a neat little story in the Bible. But they were given as an example for us to look at ourselves. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and stood up to play. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. See, all these things happen, and we look at those people as faithless. We might not be facing the same things. You know, we're not walking out through a desert and haven't drank water for 2-3 days thinking we're going to die if we don't get some water. Often our problems are a lot smaller than that. You know, we're not tempted that Moses went up in a mountain and a cloud of smoke and we haven't seen him for 40 days. You know, we're out in the desert. We've been wandering in the desert for 40 years. We haven't seen him. We have about 5 minutes worth of trouble and the whole world's caving in on us. Supper's late. Or supper's gonna be late. We get all worked up about it and just. The point is are we looking at other people the way we look at ourselves? Or are we striving to be free from all of that? Striving to be clear from it. And looking at others with patience, knowing what's within me. See how all this kind of ties together, this being as, you know, the people that were around, not just trying to mock them or mimic them or follow their fads and impress them with that, but to actually get down to where they're at, because we've been there and we've been through it. Nor let us try the Lord, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them as an example. And they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. Everything that you're going through, there's been millions, if not billions, of people going through the very same thing. All of our situations may seem a little different. Doesn't matter what it is we're going through, somebody's already done it. And it was part of this war that's going on in the spiritual realm. We just happen to be in this body where we are right now. The thing happening to me that's happening to someone else, and it's all playing out this spiritual warfare to see if we are going to trust God or we're going to be like all those people who fell for it and lost out and were killed in the wilderness. And all along through history, those that fell by the way, this is our battle. Deny yourself, take up your cross. Abandon yourself. It doesn't matter what you are going through. Someone's already been through it. It doesn't matter what you've been going through. Somebody's already been through it and they've been faithful. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Somebody's already been through it and millions have not been faithful. This is your battle. This is our war. Whenever people look back in history at our war, will we have been faithful? Whatever we're going through, it doesn't matter. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way. And all that I need for tomorrow. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. See, whenever we're trusting the one that's got the whole world in his hands, it doesn't matter what we're going through. All we have to do is go through it. Don't fall in the traps that are all around us. Fear. We don't have to be afraid. The Lord knows the way. We don't have to be scared. We don't have to get all sidetracked with somebody else not carrying their load. The Lord knows the way. And the only way anyone else is going to follow us is if we just go through. The Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And if we will abandon ourselves and just follow, that is all that we have to do. That is what leads us through the desert, leads us through the wilderness. It leads us through Missouri right now. It leads us through the world that we're living in right now. It's the same. We admire those who were faithful, and we scoff at those who failed. But you know, there's people watching us. There's a great cloud of witnesses that have already been through it. It's watching us right now. And they're pulling for us. They're cheering that we just follow. Quit worrying about yourself. Quit worrying about your problems, what you're going through. There's nothing you can do about it anyway. Except go through it. been things that happened in my life that I didn't know whether I wanted to even go on or not. I mean, I've spent many a night laying out in the ground all night long asking the Lord just to take me, because I don't want to go through this. I don't want to do this. And all he wanted me to do is get up and just go through it. Just go through it. He holds all things in his hands. He knows the way through the wilderness. And the sad thing is, if we'll just let him go, you know, it took them 40 years to get through the wilderness. And I think they said that they could have actually done it in a few weeks. But it took them 4 years to learn the lessons of giving up, recklessly abandoning, and just trusting the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right, well, Lord bless you all. Depart in peace.